After the shock of the final night raid massacre, where Shwatama, Drona's son, Kripa, brother-in-law to Drona, and Kritavarman, the commander-in-chief of the Risri army, had annihilated and finished off the remaining troops while they were asleep, the next major task really was the Pandavas to go to Hastinapura and meet with the blind king and the courtiers and their former friends and relations. There was anger both from Dhritarashtra, the blind old king, and his wife Gandhari. But when this had been diffused by the help of Krishna and Vyasa the sage, then in fact balance came back and they realized that what was happening was due to happen, and it was the working through of what they were told was going to happen, and they knew within their hearts was going to happen as well. When the brothers and Draupadi had finished paying their respects to the blind old king, he said, "Go over to Gandhari and speak to her. She wants to speak to you." And when they met up there, of course, it's great tears, and she commiserated with Draupadi, and she said to her, "Really, we are in the same boat." But she also said, "Don't grieve." And she freely admitted that, in fact, all this was foretold by Vidura and by Krishna. And she did bring forward this interesting aspect of that it was time. It was going to happen inevitably through time. Time with a capital T. And really here, it means really means fate or destiny. It was going to happen anywhere. So it's really like fate and destiny on a timeline. But within herself, there was still quite a lot of anger at the loss of all her sons. At this stage, Vyasa the sage asked for leave and he left, and Dhritarashtra said that they should go down with the women to the battlefield. So Krishna led the way with Yugitsu, remember Yugitsu, the half-brother that went over to the Pandava side with him. And all the women came along in their carriages and in their chariots. And when they arrived at the battlefield, they left the chariots and the carriages disheveled, hair all over the place, crying, wailing, stumbling. Oh, it's a real mess. And what a sight they saw. Bodies everywhere, broken chariots, elephants, horses, blood all over the place, terrible. So they stumbled around looking for their loved ones. Some were actually hitting their heads with their fists, and some stumbled and fell, running backwards and forwards and shrieking, crying, and so forth. And on the field itself were the bodies, headless, armless. Some of the arms were still actually holding weapons. They're holding swords, they're holding clubs, and all the predatory animals were there. There were jackals, there were jungle crows and ravens and storks and vultures. And what they were doing, especially the birds, they would, with their claws, with their feet, they'd hang on to the armor and they'd peck away at all the necklaces and things and the ornaments of the warriors that were around their necks and things so they could get at the flesh. And also the jackals were pulling away the garlands, the jewels, the actual armor itself, so they could actually get at the flesh, they could get at the bodies. And the poor women themselves, in a frenzy, were picking up heads, holding them against certain bodies that they thought matched and they didn't match, but in their frenzy, they really couldn't tell what was what. Gandhari actually was standing quite near Krishna at the time, and she pointed out to him the body of Duryodhana, and also the beautiful, large-eyed wife of Duryodhana, Bunamati. And she was falling on her husband and holding him in her arms. And nearby was her son, Lakshmana. And at one stage, she was caressing the hair and the head of Duryodhana. The next, she'd go over to her son and do the same thing. And always in the background was this shrieking and screaming. The tears had stopped in the main, but there was this wailing constantly going on in the background. At one stage, Banamati was actually cleaning the blood off the face of Duryodhana and then doing the same thing to Lakshmana. And even Gandhari bent down and caressed her son. And then Gandhari turned to Krishna, and she knew in her own mind that Krishna and Vidura had both tried to sue for peace. But she felt, and also she knew that Krishna was, or she'd been told that Krishna was the supreme, the incarnation of the supreme soul. But having said that, within herself, she felt that Krishna could have avoided this terrible massacre. He could have stopped it if he wanted to. And the anger welled up in her, and she turned to him and she cursed him. She said that, "I curse you that in 36 years' time, you will be the destroyer and your Vrizri, your nation, will be destroyed with you. And your women will weep as these women are weeping now for their men. At that, Krishna, with his hands folded, bowed to her and he said to her, my Vrizris, my nation, are invincible. They cannot be defeated by Gandavas, those demigods. They cannot be defeated by Rakshasas. And in actual fact, you've done me a favor because I was trying to determine how I could take them out of this world with me. So I accept your curse. He wasn't letting her get away with it just like that. He said to her, this is your fault. This is your fault and Dhritarashtra's. You should have checked Duryodhana right early on when he was born. He was arrogant. He was malevolent. He was envious. Then he said to her, you should give up your grief, because the more you indulge in grief, then the greater it becomes. And he reminded her that the Kshatriya wives, they bear sons, and these sons are there to be killed in battle. Well, nearby was Arjuna Yudhishthira, and they just looked at each other in shock. But then the request came from Dhritarashtra that the funeral pyres should be put together for all his sons and all their followers. And there were thousands of Brahmins there, and they started their chanting. And soon, the whole of the banks, the Ganges along there, the whole of the banks were full of these flaming pyres all along the banks of the river. But you couldn't hear much of the chanting of the Brahmins because of the wailing and the crying of the women. Soon the men present were into the river with water up their waists in the ritual of the last rites to the dead. And as the Pandavas were entering the water, Kunti came up to them rather quietly and she said to them, she asked for the oblations to be given for Karna, the last rites given to him, and that in fact he was their eldest brother. Well, you can imagine how that went down. Yudhishthira looked at Arjuna, an enormous cry came out of him. But it was always thought amongst the brothers that in fact Karna wasn't a sutra, he wasn't a half-caste. They realized, because of his capacity, enormous fighting capacity, no sutra could ever have such a capacity as that. Yudhishthira asked Kunti, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us before? This battle would never have happened. I would have never joined this battle if I'd known that Karna was her eldest brother. And she replied that she'd thought about it on a number of occasions, but each time she'd actually held back. And now he was dead and all his sons were dead. There'd be nobody to carry out the oblations and perform the last rites. Kunti then went through the old story that we all know, how in fact that Surya came to him, she gave the mantra that had been given to her by the sage who she'd looked after so well, that she could summon any of the deities and with them produce a child. And really out of frivolous childishness, she'd summoned Surya. Surya had come and the result was Karna. Now, poor Yudhishthira, he said, really, this has hurt me far more than the loss of our own sons and the loss of Abhimanyu. And again, he reiterated, if he'd known there would be no war, they would never have fought. And Kunti said that, in fact, Karna knew of this, but Karna wouldn't actually change sides. He wanted to stay faithful to his friend as he'd promised. The brothers then looked at Krishna, who was coming out of the water, water running off his body. And as he came out, Yudhishthira said to him, how is it that you, with folded hands, he said to him, how is it that you never told us about this? And Krishna said, well, really, it was because of my love for your mother that I didn't tell you. Although Karna knew the truth of his birth, it was out of his loyalty to Duryodhana that he would not change his mind and remain fighting for the Kauravas. And what you should do now is enter the water and offer him his due rites. So the brothers, with their mother, entered the water and stood there for some time, offering their last rites to Karna and all their other relatives. When this was finished, Yudhishthira made arrangements for them to live all along the riverbank there for the next 30 days, as was required by scriptural rites. And on every day of these 30 days, daily offerings should be made to the dead. Yudhishthira had told his mother that he really understood her situation, but even so, she should have told them. And as a result of her not doing so, with the powers that he had, he cursed all womanhood that they would never ever be able to keep a secret. If you have been, thanks very much for listening.